All right, I'd like to read you a story. It'll be familiar to many of you. Many years ago, there was an emperor who was so fond of new clothes that he spent all of his money on them. He did not give himself any concern about his army. He cared nothing about the theater or for driving around in the woods, except for the sake of showing himself off in his new clothes. Well, he had a costume for every hour in the day, and just as they say of a king or an emperor, he is in his council chambers. They said of him, the emperor is in his dressing room. Well, one day, two strangers came to town. Well, they were con men who passed themselves off as master weavers. And they said they knew how to make the most exquisite clothes. Not only were the colors and the patterns uncommonly beautiful, but the clothes were made of stuff that had a peculiar property, that of being invisible to every person who was unfit for the office he held or who was unworthy. Well, those must be valuable clothes, thought the emperor. By wearing them, I should be able to discover which of the men in my empire are fit for office. I will be able to distinguish the wise from the fools. So the emperor paid the two scoundrels a handsome sum of money in advance as they required. So now the two men pocketed the money and pretended to be weaving. And as time passed, the emperor was getting anxious about his new clothes. But as he reflected about the clothes, he said, maybe I should send someone else to check on them. So he sent his top aide. Well, of course, when the aide went to where these men were busy about their weaving, he saw nothing. But not wanting to be judged as unfit or unworthy, he said, oh, it is the most elegant and beautiful. What a fine pattern and what fine clothes. I will certainly tell the emperor how pleased I am with those fine clothes. As time passed, the emperor sent more aides and all brought back the same report. Well, finally, the day came and the emperor, with the help of his stewards, after taking off his old clothes, pretended to put on and button his new outfit. And as he marched down the streets, his attendants were behind him, acting as if they were carrying his long train. And everyone in the streets were shouting, what beautiful clothes! How splendid! Though in fact, they saw nothing. But they didn't want to be judged as being unfit or unworthy until a child finally said, the emperor has no clothes. In this day and time, there are a lot of people walking around with a false message. And we as men have a challenge as we're watching all these messages, people saying things that God says is not okay, is okay. A culture gone amok. And we're watching this and we're challenged with, are we going to be like the crowd? Are we going to be like the crowd and say, everything's okay? There's really not a problem. That's really not sin. That's okay. It's the way you feel that matters. Or are you going to be like the child that says something is wrong with that picture? Something is wrong with that behavior? Something is wrong with that decision? Well, for those of us that say, well, we want to speak up. We want to speak out. We want our lives to be counted. We want lives where others would follow us as we follow Christ. Lives worth following. Well, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he gives a vivid description of this is what the lost man's life looks like. And this is what the person who knows Christ, who's growing in their relationship with Christ, this is what their life looks like. So for just a few moments today, I want to remind you of what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24, where he asks the question, does your actions demonstrate lostness or Christ-likeness? Do you display actions that demonstrate lostness or Christ-likeness? This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You see, a lost person cannot see spiritual things. A lost person cannot see spiritual things. There are situations that happen in each of our lives where there is the surface issue and then there is the real issue. The surface issue versus the deeper issue. Well, the lost person can never see the deeper issue. The lost person never has the deeper perspective. We remember in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they were being threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace, they said, "Our God is able to deliver us." They saw the deeper issue. The surface issue was their present circumstances. The deeper issue was the God who is over our circumstances. The lost person, when it comes to seeing deeper issues, they do not understand God's ultimate aim for us in this life. You see, the lost person says, it is God's ultimate aim in life to make my life work. But the believer knows that our ultimate aim in life is to give him glory. God's ultimate goal for you, God's ultimate goal for me, is not to try and make your life work as you think it should work, as I think it should work. And when we look at circumstances through that lens, it changes everything. But the lost person cannot see spiritual things. The lost person displays an unteachable spirit. An unteachable spirit. It says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. You see, a lost person builds walls around themselves and makes it very difficult for you to speak truth and teach them. The lost person has an unteachable spirit, not open to the input of others who desire to speak truth into their lives. Oh, yes, they're willing to talk about the sports. They're willing to talk about the weather. They're willing to talk about the peripheral things. But the deeper issues, they don't want to go there. They're willing to talk about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and what are they going to do in the 2019-2020 season. Nothing wrong with talking about those things, but life is deeper than that, and the lost person is not willing to open their lives up to be taught. So again, we're asking the question, does my life, does your life, does it reflect more like that of a lost person? Or does our life reflect more one who's growing in his relationship with Christ? A lost person doesn't see spiritual things. A lost person displays an unteachable spirit. A lost person lacks conviction over sin. It says, and they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. This means when presented with sin, things that are clearly wrong, whether it's television, whether it's internet, whatever behavior it might be, the lost person is not bothered by it. God's name can be blasphemed. People can take lightly spiritual things, and yet a lost person is not bothered by it. But Paul says, but you did not learn Christ this way. If you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life, my life, should look differently. The believer's life, a growing believer, discerns from God the core issues. You and I ask the question when presented with challenging situations, God, what are you up to? We're able to see that in a circumstance, there may be surface issues and there may be deeper issues. I know that Pastor Chris, our counselor, he gets to see this on a regular basis. There are situations where a husband and a wife come in for counseling and the husband says, well, I don't love my wife anymore. Well, many times, as a spiritual person, you're able to look into that situation and you know there's something deeper. As a matter of fact, many times you'll find out that that husband has disengaged from his wife and has engaged with someone else, and therefore the deeper issue is the somebody else. A spiritual person is able to see the core issues. They're able to see the deeper issues. The growing believer understands what you see originally may not be all there is to see. There's more to the story. Perhaps some of you have had situations in your life where you've had difficult relationships with a coworker or a family member. I had someone that I knew that had a difficult relationship with a person that they were in a singing group with. And from the very beginning, Jason communicated to me that Alan just could not stand him. He said, I'd never done anything. Jason said, I'd never done anything. I can't remember anything where we had ever crossed ways in any kind of way. But just from the very beginning, Alan did not like me. The surface issue is it looked as though Alan just didn't like Jason. But through time and through prayer, Jason built a relationship with Alan, and he learned that he had the singing part, first tenor, and Alan had second tenor, but Alan wanted first tenor. But it went much deeper than that, in that Alan never felt like he was enough, good enough. And so he was taking his poor self-image out on Jason. It was the deeper issue. What you see originally may not be all there is to see, but a growing believer goes through the process of discerning the core issues. A growing believer displays a teachable spirit. You and I cannot progress in our faith alone. We need others. We cannot progress in our relationship with Christ alone. God has made it. God has designed it for us to live in community together. As a matter of fact, God lives in community. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, if God lives in community, who are we to think that we don't need someone else? We need community. You and I need people that we trust, that can speak into our lives and tell us the truth. And my question for you, who do you have in your life that can tell you, can give you a difficult message about yourself, and you take it, and you receive it, and you think about it, you pray about it? For us, and especially I can speak for me, when someone gives me a difficult message, someone has something challenging to say to me about something I've done or said, I don't immediately say, thank you so much. I am so encouraged. I am so happy that you just told me that I'm insensitive. Thank you. Now, what I have to do is I have to say, I'm going to take this, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to pray about it. And 99.9% of the time, after my prayer time, God says, they were right. But who do you have in your life that can speak truth into your life, and you're willing to receive the message and pray about it and think about it and see if it's true? You will be a better husband. You will be a better grandfather. You will be a better father. You will be a better coworker. You will be a better boss. You will be better in every area of your life if you're teachable. Most of you can think of someone that needs to be taught, but they're unwilling to be taught. And you can look professionally, spiritually, holistically at their life. You can look at the consequences of not being teachable. A person who's growing in their relationship with Christ is teachable. A person who's growing in the relationship with Christ learns and applies God's word. So encouraging to see each of you here today doing just that, learning and applying God's word. I love what it says here in the verse. It says that you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you know as well as I know, every day we get up, we need a fresh perspective and reminder about thinking spiritually and thinking the way God desires for us to think. Every single day we wake up, we have to be committed to learning and applying God's word to our lives. It renews our mind. It becomes, as Psalm 119, 105 says, it becomes a light for our path throughout our day. It becomes a lamp unto our feet. It guides us, it corrects us, it helps us. God's word makes a difference in our lives. And you have to remember that your decisions, and specifically your mistakes, impact more than just you. There are people that God has placed in your life to impact. Your decisions, my decisions, impact more than just me. Your decisions impact more than just you. But being a learner, being someone willing to sit under God's authority and learn his word and apply it to our lives makes a difference in not only how we live, but impacts others. Are you and I living a life worth following?